This program comes to you from Jara Country, the traditional lands of the Jarjawarung. I pay respects to elders past and present. I also acknowledge the traditional owners from all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lands you're listening from. Welcome to another episode of New Home, a podcast that shares with you some of the stories of migrant and refugee women living in regional Victoria. My name is Ali Hanley, and this is our final episode of New Home for the time being. Today, I'm taking you to an event that was held during Refugee Week earlier this year in a small town called Friarstown in central Victoria. The event was simply a celebration of refugees and also the community that they're part of. We gathered in a building that used to be a school, surrounded by gum trees. Inside, there are big blackboards on the walls and a fireplace in the main room. The school was originally opened in 1915, but these days it's community run and hosts many different types of events, including art exhibitions, classes, and parties. The day was put together by a collection of organisations: Sisterworks, Rural Australians for Refugees, the Loddon Campaspe Multicultural Services, and the community of Friarstown itself. As I approached the building, I saw Nita's Gamelan Orchestra set up on the veranda. And Nita, Aaron, and their musicians and dancers were all there, dressed colourfully in traditional Indonesian outfits. Inside, I saw Rebecca at a table with some of the other South Sudanese women, all talking and laughing and working on weaving grass baskets and mats. And Lamo was in the kitchen, helping to prepare the lunch, making her famous dumplings. It was so lovely to see so many of the women that I've interviewed for this series. And of course, Ginny was there, representing Sisterworks and the Loddon Campaspe Multicultural Services. I hope you remember her from the trailer for New Home. And it's important to acknowledge that this series was her creation. She came up with the idea and she has helped produce it the whole way through. And she has linked me with all of the women whose stories you've heard. You can feel the care, commitment and belief she has in these people, in everything she does. The hall was jam-packed and there were so many people there. Throughout the afternoon, I spoke to a couple of people, and I hope as you listen to today's episode, you too can hear how the stories of the women that I spoke to at that event echo the stories you've heard in other episodes of New Home.
Thank you for coming to help celebrate Refugee Week. I'm Jason from Loddon Campaspe Multicultural Services, and together Ginny and I put together this lovely event for everyone. Please do enjoy. Food, there's Tibetan dumplings, so thank you, Lamu. Vegetarian and beef. There's a vegan curry, so chickpea potato with rice, salmon, and the dolma, which is vegan as well.
Would you like to say a few words, Sonia?
I just want to say it's wonderful to collaborate with Sisterworks. We're so happy. And we're just commemorating Refugee Week that's coming up, and how people from refugee communities make such a wonderful contribution, and they're our friends, and we want to be together and we want to celebrate. Did Ginny want to say something?
Yeah, I would like to say something. Yeah. I'd just like to acknowledge the traditional owner of the land, the Jarjawarung people, the land that we stand in, the land that has welcomed all from different places to be here today. And I would just like to like everyone to have a chance to know each other, because this is our community. This is the people that live here. So introduce yourself, get to know your neighbours. So we'll cut it short because you're hungry.
Everyone, please.
During the lunch, Ginny went around the room and allowed anyone who wanted to talk to say a few words to explain where they were from and what their story was, just briefly. Several people stood up, including a woman called Pipit, and she got quite emotional as she spoke about how lonely she had been when she first moved to Australia. So later on, I had a conversation with her to share with you, because she had expressed how grateful she was when the Sudanese community moved to Castlemaine and she was able to connect with other migrant and refugees. And as she told the story, she joyfully pointed out a Sudanese woman called Arab, who was a parent of some children who were at the childcare centre that she worked at and who had become a much loved figure in her life. This is Pipit and Arab.
My name is Pipit. I'm from Indonesia. I end up in Kasemen. Of course, I married a gentleman from England who stay in Kasemen. What do you call, move from England. I arrived 2005. It's really, really remote for me, especially from Indonesia. Quite often, like, I cannot find people like me. It's very lonely for me. In the cafe, it's only oldest people who's sitting in there. No young generation or kid. Most of them, I'm feeling like retired. Feel it. I'm feeling like that. It's not much young generation with the kid running around in the street. It wasn't like that. Especially, I married with the, you know, he's more senior than me. I'm feeling like lonely, you know. I'm looking people like me, you know, the age like me. And luckily, government give me learning English. So I go every day, go to Bendigo learning English. That's make me feel happier. I meet 32 different nationality in the class. So that's what make me every day looking forward to talk to them, because in Kasemen I feel lonely, no family, no friend. And then 2007 completely changed the way of Kasemen, I think. Suddenly Sudanese coming in 2007, I think, or 2008. And then suddenly in 2008, if I'm not wrong, they're doing in state festival, and they're doing in rain dance. After they're doing in rain dance, do you know what happened? It's rain coming. That's the rain for years. I think drought for years. In 2008, we have a rain.
So are you saying the Sudanese community did a rain dance?
Yes.
And then the rain came?
Yes. Yes. That's the drought almost 4 years. I've been there, 2005, almost 4 years. I'm feeling like starting more multicultural, especially now a lot of young generation from Melbourne, from around, you know, the area, moving to Kasemen, because they say it's very laid-back community, very welcoming. And then there are a lot of accommodation for the young generation, like a library that will have a story for the children, community garden for people who want to, you know, involve with the community. Mm. So now it's changing for better.
The connection between you and the Sudanese community got stronger, didn't it, when you took a job?
Yes, yes. I work in the childcare, and I found the job, and thanks God, until 15 years, I'm still with them. I'm so proud that from I am working there is a lot of Sudanese children. I take care of them. And one of them is called Nola and Jafur.
Pippi was, of course, talking about Aruk's children, who she had cared for in her work at the childcare centre. This is Aruk.
I'm from South Sudan. I came here to Australia in 2004, early 2004. And we settled in Melbourne, based in Croydon. It was a really lovely, lovely area. We stayed there for 2 years and then moved to Ringwood because the landlord wanted to come back to their house. So stayed in Ringwood for 1 year, and then 2006, my husband found work in Kasemen at the bacon factory. So he worked there for three months and it was really hard for us to be by ourselves because he never been away before. It was really hard, so I pushed him. We have to come to Kasemen, stay together. And after 6 months of being at work, we finally moved here. So we stay here, and I found it really hard in Kasemen because it was a bit isolated and a lot of family members in Melbourne. It was very hard. The African food is very hard to find here. We have to go back to Melbourne and do shopping. But thankfully, we were welcomed by Kasemen community, the whole community. We had a lot of volunteers helping us. We got a lot of help, and that help, we didn't get that much help from in Melbourne when we were in Melbourne. So we got help from driving to English lesson to taking person to doctor appointment, to everything.
And was that help given by people in the community who just wanted to volunteer and help out? Or is that given because council had some funding or government help?
At first, when we arrived, it's volunteer. I think 2 years or 3 years later, then the government provided funding. But we still had a lot of help as well from volunteers, so they didn't step away. They stay with us and help us, even though we had funding to help Sudanese community. We have 4 families here, and the single people who working here and their family in Melbourne, and there's some family in Bendigo. All the Sudanese who are in Australia are refugees. Yeah, we came here under humanitarian refugees program. You know, coming here and leave your family behind is really hard, but there's no other way you can do. You have to look for a better life, and also we support them back home, but not living together is very hard. In South Sudan, when a lady gives birth, everybody's around, like the mother, the in-law, the sister, all the family around. So you never feel like you're alone. But in here, it's just you by yourself. After you come back home, it's just you by yourself with the family. You know, there's no one around to help you. That's just really hard. And, you know, our children are not learning, like they're forgetting our language because there's no elderly people who, like grandma, grandpa, who auntie, who can speak to them in our language. We try to speak our language, but they listen. They reply in English.
What's a day like today like for you? Why do you come to days like today? What does it mean to you to be connected to a big, broader community?
I think it's really good for us as the nation to embrace that. It's a different kind of idea, different kind of a culture. At the end of the day, we are Australian. So I think we have to embrace that more. So at the end of the day, the children is not feeling like I'm different. That's what is for me. It's not for us as the adults. The adults is very difficult to deal with that. But for young kids, they don't know why he born here, why my skin is different. Just make them feeling, hey, you are Australian. You're not different forever, the color or forever. You are Australian. So give them young generation feeling belonging. It's not feeling different. Make them, this young generation, become Australia, proud to be Australia, you know. And more, what you call, more appreciate, be born here, you know, with any circumstances, why they end up here. Yeah. So in the end, they more appreciate and their culture there. So it's not, they're not feeling lost their, what do you call, identity to us, multi-language, you know. So yeah, maybe we embrace more of that.
I think, you know, like being in the other community is a way of learning, or a way of opening your mind. And it's, someone said that when you in a different community, you're scared of them, they're scared of you. That's why a lot of people don't, if they see you on the street, they go like this. It's not because they don't like you, it's because they're scared to ask you if you could be offended if they say hello. That's what I found out from community here. But connecting to different community, different people is really great. It's great for us, it's great for them. We get to know each other. I think we should do more.
Nita's gamelan orchestra played before lunch as everyone was still arriving and getting ready, and then again after lunch when the dancers emerged in brightly coloured traditional Indonesian garb. Gamelan Orchestra is playing, and there are 6 children dressed in bright yellow outfits, silken with red belts and sashes and sneakers and beautiful intricate headdresses, being led by a woman who has all the movements down perfectly. And it's really cute watching the kids do their best to do these highly precise movements that their teacher is doing in front of them. And everyone here is watching transfixed by these great dancers. I sat with two of these dancers through lunch, and as we ate, I heard about how they had joined Nita's group. I thought it was worth sharing with you the joy the Gamelan group brings and how events like this lead to more events like this. As you'll hear, one of the women, Jennifer, had seen Nita dance at an International Women's Day event earlier this year. And now, just a few months later, she was dancing with Nita at a Refugee Week event.
My name is Jennifer. I'm from China. North of China, they call Ice City. It's really cold and minus 25 or 40 degrees. I've been in Australia 12 years.
My name is Nina. I came to Australia 28 years ago, but before I live in Queensland. So I came to Bendigo 2010. I come from Jakarta, Indonesian capital city in Java Island.
I married with my husband, Stephen, Australia.
I'm married Australian. He worked in Indonesia.
I sat down with you at lunch and we had lunch together, which was very nice. And I heard the story of how you met Nita only just recently at a similar event. Can you tell me about that?
I met Nita on the few months ago, International Women's Day. And I was performing from a Bendigo Chinese Association, and then I meet Nita, play their music and dancing. I just feel, wow, that's a really nice performance. Then she was teaching a little bit dancing to warm up. Mm-hmm. I really like her. So I said, do you perform sometime? I really like it. You can come to my house every Saturday with performance. So I went there. It's really nice and welcome. And we got a lot of different nationality people there. We have lunch and chat and dancing. It's all day, so quickly gone. So I'm really enjoy. They are nice people.
So you've only been dancing with her for 2 months, but you already love it.
Yeah, I love this. I think probably 3 or 4 times there. But I try to copy, you know. Yeah. I try my best. Yeah.
And how long have you been dancing with Nita and the Gamelan Orchestra?
One month. And it's happy place, you know, for me because I miss, you know, Indonesian, like Gamelan music. I used to when start dancing 5 years old. Now I'm 55, like I start again. It's good for me. I just happy yeah. When I was, you know, with Nita Mugira Hayu's group and meet all different people as well. It's happy. Yeah.
How did you feel today performing?
I think I'm not confident, but I just feel more relaxed because people are nice. See, after they're talking their story, it's really moving me. I said, oh, people come here, they got different story. Me too. So when I was young, I always wanted to be a dancer, but I don't have got chance. So then I forced my daughter to be dance. She doesn't like. So one day she said, Mom, you have your own life. You know, you shouldn't, you know, work and care about me. I'm independent now. I said, oh, why not? It's my life now. So this is why I'm joining the any dance, doesn't matter which country. I just enjoy, you know, the performance, the moment. And the most time you enjoy is the people together. You know their culture, you know their everything. Just amazing me, you know. They are really friendly. That's making me feel, oh, that's a really nice community. I miss my family too. I haven't seen them 3 years, but now I feel happy. Everybody just like a family friend. That's nice.
Especially when performance for multicultural is really interesting, you know. Listen each person the story. Like, yes, it's good. Australia is good to live. My mom used to dancer in Yogyakarta, royal dancer. It's very good as well for, you know, exercising. So happy. I met Nita 12 years ago from Indonesian Australia community. They call bike Bendigo Australia Indonesia Club.
I always appreciate people doing things, and you know, it's I never been here, but it's so nice. And people say you are welcome. They're beautiful food, handmade. Always make me feel, oh, what a lovely day
to learn cooking class.
I hope you've enjoyed this, our final episode of New Home. It was so heartwarming to gather with these people, and even though I've only met and spoken to a few of them for very short amounts of time to create this series, I felt the joy of seeing them again, and also the warmth of seeing them all gather as a community to celebrate together, eat together, and share stories together. As we wrap up the series, I'd like to acknowledge that the people we spoke to were either migrants or refugees who were never detained by the Australian government. The stories we've heard here are vastly different to the stories of some others who seek asylum in Australia. It is our hope that in sharing these stories, we can remind people that every migrant and refugee has a story, is a human being, and is part of a community. While I was able to catch up with Ginny, Lamo, Nita, and Rebecca at this event, others were absent. Duong was in Thailand researching and planning for a course she'd like to offer people who want to travel to Thailand to have an immersive cooking masterclass experience. Kuti and Husnia were both at Refugee Week events in Bendigo, and Joy was busy with her own events through the Ballarat Regional Multicultural Council. Reflecting on this series and the people I've spoken to, I am struck by how different all of their stories are, and how sensitive, intelligent, and resilient they all were in their own ways. Whether migrant or refugee, each woman had moments of challenge, most often to do with a lack of community and loneliness. This made it really clear to me that the work that the various refugee, migrant, and multicultural service organisations do is so vital. They came up time and again as being an important part of the women's ability to navigate life in Australia. Whether large or small, these organisations are driven by people who are dedicated to helping, and many of whom have some experience of being a migrant or refugee themselves, like Joy or Ginny. And while they're providing practical things like education, access to services, learning English, or simply providing transport to those who can't drive, they have also, I've heard in these stories, been the pathway to how women make friends, find community, and ultimately can find happiness in their new home. Thanks for listening to New Home. Follow the series in your favourite podcast app to get the rest of the episodes, or visit sbs.com.au/newhome. If you'd like to get in touch, email newhome@sbs.com.au. This series was created and produced by me, Ali Hanley, and Ginny Tan, with additional editing by Max Gosford.